I've been looking forward to exploring the topic of listening in a sermon with you for some time now. True listening is not what we think it is. And it's not usually what we're taught by our parents or our teachers. It's not a deeply ingrained part of our culture. True listening is actually quite rare and exquisite. And the fact that it is so rare is detrimental to our individual and collective creative evolution. If we are serious about building the beloved community, about helping bring to be the kingdom of God, or the peace that passes all understanding, or however it is that you understand that world that we'd like to bring here, we first need to listen. It's through listening that we know anything about who we are and what we are called to do. Listening is the mechanism that forms the bonds of community. It is integral to being in a healthy, creative, growing relationship with anyone. So what are we talking about? What does it mean to really listen? Helen Keller said, "To listen is to direct one's attention to sound and meaning." But of course, to a blind and deaf person who communicates mainly through her sense of touch, she added, "But we can listen with our hands." So listening is not limited to hearing vibrational sounds with our eardrums and interpreting the meaning of those sounds with our brain. We can listen with our eyes, with our skin, with our sense of smell or taste. It's about attention, and especially about receptivity. From what I can tell, for most of us, our biggest impediment to true communication is that we don't listen to understand. We listen to reply. When someone's telling us about their experience, it is hard to resist the urge to jump in and tell them about ours. It's especially hard to listen to something that we don't like or that we don't want to hear. I remember learning the value of letting down my defenses and really hearing the hurt feelings of one of my prior partners. He was trying to tell me that something I had said earlier in the day had hurt his feelings. And I was responding with equal animation and volume while I voiced reasons why I was actually justified in saying what I did because, I don't know, some reason that seemed perfectly legitimate in my rigid argumentative state of mind. At some point, it was becoming clear that we were not getting closer to one another, but instead creating more and more distance. And he said, "Maybe you could try not defending yourself and just hear what I'm trying to tell you." Well, and that was a setup. You can't really say anything to defend yourself without sounding like you're defending yourself. So I sat there on the couch with my arms crossed in a silent huff. And then I said, "So what, now I just have to sit here and feel miserable?" To which he said, "Yeah, maybe you do." Author and theologian David Augsburger said, "Being heard is so close to being loved that for the average person, they are almost indistinguishable." When we listen to someone, we place our attention on them. It is delicious to be listened to by someone who we trust not to judge us or to make our story somehow about themselves. In our sacred circles here, we have a practice of giving each person a set period of time, of uninterrupted time, to share their experiences and their thoughts on a topic with the larger group listening. If the person finishes what they have to say before their time is up, I encourage the group to hold silence rather than move on to the next person. I've learned that it is sometimes in this held silence, in this circle of focused attention, that a deeper truth emerges, bubbles up. I believe that we can listen the truth out of each other. What a precious gift that we can give. Alice Miller wrote, "Listening means taking a vigorous human interest in what is being told us. You can listen like a blank wall or like a splendid auditorium where every sound comes back fuller and richer. Some people are better listeners than others. Think of the people who you know who are really good listeners. Who are the ones that you look forward to talking to because you always come away feeling a little more grounded, more energized, a little more connected? What is it that they're doing that's making you feel that way? Like any skill, listening is something that can be learned and practiced. Jiddu Krishnamurti said, if we try to listen, we find it extraordinarily difficult because we are already always projecting our opinions, our ideas, our prejudices, our background, our inclinations, our impulses. When they dominate, we hardly listen at all to what is being said. One listens and therefore learns only in a state of silence, in which this whole background is in abeyance, is quiet. Then, it seems to me, he says, it is possible to communicate. A good listener creates a sort of emptiness into which a person can pour out their thoughts and feelings. All too often, we are already full of our own ideas about what they should do, how they're doing it all wrong, what we would do if we were in their situation. But Krishnamurti makes the point that when all that chatter is going on in our minds, we are not able to actually hear what the person is saying. We need to silence our own thoughts to make room for what is being said. A full cup of tea cannot receive any more. Giving our full attention and quieting our own mind are both prerequisites for good listening. But I think there is something even more. To really understand the experience someone is telling you requires a degree of receptivity that is not something a part of our culture, a part of the way that we are with one another. Mark Nepo writes, to listen is to continually give up all expectation and to give our attention completely and freshly to what is before us, not really knowing what we will hear or what that will mean. In the practice of our days, to listen is to lean in softly with a willingness to be changed by what we hear. Give up all expectation, give our attention completely and freshly. But then he says, to listen is to lean in softly with a willingness to be changed by what we hear. It is that willingness to be changed that I think is countercultural. It's revolutionary, or at least evolutionary. How many of us regularly listen with that level of openness? It's not easy. I've talked to a number of people here who have recently spent time with family members who are more politically conservative, shall we say. In this extremely polarized political climate, it is both more difficult and more important that we listen to one another. I know it's hard for many of us to comprehend how a person, especially a person that we love, can be a supporter of one of our presidential nominees. And yet, if we cannot listen carefully and with an open heart, we risk severing our connection to our family members. I learned from my study and practice of nonviolent communication that there's a list of universal human needs, things like affection, belonging, ease, safety, love. It's a very long list, but we all have the same needs, each to a greater or lesser degree. It was tremendously helpful for me to understand this. It makes listening to somebody complain easier because I can listen instead for what need is it that they're telling me hasn't been met. And it can help us bridge the divide between ourselves and our conservative family members or neighbors when we can listen for the deeper needs which they believe that their candidate can meet. If you have not experienced a nonviolent communications class or compassionate communication, as it's sometimes called, I highly recommend it. I'm not exaggerating when I say that the class changed my life and absolutely changed my ministry. We will be having a four-week nonviolent communications class here Tuesday nights starting on October 11th, I believe. So if you're curious at all, especially as we go into this election season, I encourage you to check it out and talk to me or to Adrian about getting involved. So why is it so important to listen? What difference does it really make? When you truly listen, you are participating in reality. There is a freshness and aliveness in that feeling. If you can truly listen to somebody with such openness and that willingness to be changed, then you are experiencing what is actually happening instead of what you project or wish were happening. Part of why we come together as a congregation is to support our own and other people's individual search for truth and meaning. I believe that in order to help create the world that we want to live in, a world of peace and justice and freedom and compassion, we need to continually and collectively deepen our understanding of reality. We need to learn to listen to what is wanting to emerge in the world around us. We need to really hear the voices that have for too long been pushed to the margins. The voices of Indigenous peoples, the voices of the African American communities, the voices of immigrants, the voices of our neighbors who live without homes, all of those who hold less power in our society, the voice of Earth herself. We are, as Dr. King put it, caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Our liberation is connected to the liberation of all people, and the most basic of all human needs is to understand and to be understood. Rachel Naomi Remen wrote, "The most basic and powerful way to connect to another person is to listen. A loving silence often has far more power to heal and to connect than the most well-intentioned words." My friends, I believe that we can heal ourselves, our communities, and our planet if we can learn to listen to one another, to ourselves, really well. When we can fully open ourselves to the truth without getting ourselves in the way and tromping all over people with our opinions about everything, we will experience for ourselves the meaning of wholeness and completeness and integrity. Shel Silverstein said, "Listening is a magnetic and strange thing, a creative force. When we are listened to, it creates us, makes us unfold and expand." By learning to listen, we can become active participants in the evolution of human consciousness. And isn't that what it's all about? Isn't that why we're here? Thank you for listening to me. I look forward to hearing your thoughts. I love you. Amen.